Welcome to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. In the background, you'll hear the theme song playing, Heart and Soul, a song that's been around for a long time. Many of you have probably played it on the piano. For a while, and maybe permanently, we're going to use that as our opening theme song along with these announcements. So each week when you hear this, you'll know it's time to come to the radio for the Heart and Soul broadcast. Also, we want to remind you these programs are available on the web at www.heartandsouloutreach.com and also at www.kweb365.com. You'll also find puzzles the entire family can enjoy. Each week we have Sunday school on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., followed by morning worship at 10:55, an evening activity at 5 o'clock called the Heart and Soul Hour, which is preparatory for this broadcast, and then Wednesdays at 6:45 we have classes for all ages. Again, we're so glad that you've tuned in today. We hope you receive a blessing as you listen today to the Heart and Soul broadcast brought to you by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas.
I am ready to worship the Lord, and I hope you are too. We are going to start with Friend of God. I think it's an incredible, incredible thing that God chooses once we are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ and once we have that imputed righteousness of Christ to call us friend. It's an incredible truth, one I enjoy singing. Sing it with me, Friend of God.
Who am I that you are mindful of me? It's amazing.
This next song is one of my favorite. We serve a mighty and a wonderful and amazing God. Sing this song with me, Mighty to Save.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. The whole above nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. The author of salvation. He rose and
a real treat. I'm excited about it. Shane and Amy are going to come and bless us with a song.
For me, all of this is exactly how it's supposed to be.
I'm right here. Can you hear my voice? My life, my love, my Lord, my baby boy.
As they nail me to this tree, just know the Father waits for me.
God, how can this be your will?
happens, whatever you see, whatever your eyes tell you has become of me. This is not, it's not the end. I am making all things new again.
I remember when you with all this pain,
and there's a nail made to this tree. Just know the Father waits for me.
God, how can this be your will to have your son and my son?
Whatever happens,
whatever happens,
whatever you see,
I don't want to see,
whatever your eyes tell you has become of me. This is not,
tell me it's not,
not the end. I am making all things new again. Whatever happens, whatever you see, whatever your eyes tell you has become of me. This is not,
no,
it's not the end, 'cause I am making all things new again.
And now, Sister Rosie O'Toole.
It's not always good down here, and a lot of stuff goes on. But if we look up and remember what Christ did for us, we always have something to be thankful for Him. We can always praise Him, and it just seems like when we begin to praise Him and forget about us, He takes over and everything's okay. Doesn't matter if the stuff's still there. Everything's okay because He's alive and well, and He loves us, and nothing can take that away.
Well, I've been on the mountain and I've been in the valley and I have lived life in between. You know, He was right beside me and He was there to guide me, and now I will lift my voice and sing. I will praise Him in the good times, I'll praise Him in the bad. I'll praise Him when I'm happy, I'll praise Him when I'm sad. I will praise Him for the blood that He shed on Calvary. I will praise His name forever, God has been so good to me.
Has He been good to you? Think of something He's done for you just this morning.
Money, but I seldom worry, 'cause I know He'll take good care of me. You know, He's my daily bread and He keeps me warm and fed, and now I will lift my voice and sing. I will praise Him in the good times,
I'll praise Him in the bad. I'll praise Him when I'm happy. I'll praise Him when I'm sad. I will praise Him for the blood that He shed on Calvary. I will praise His name forever. God has been so good to me. I will praise Him in the good times. I'll praise Him in the bad. I'll praise Him when I'm happy. I'll praise Him when I'm sad. I will praise Him for the blood that He shed on Calvary. I'll praise His name forever. God has been so good to me. I will praise Him for the blood that He shed on Calvary. I'll praise His name forever. God has been so good to me.
Thank you, Sister Rosie. God is good, isn't He?
Revelation 19, beginning in verse 11, the Bible says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and his name is called the Word of God. Now, if you know your Bible, you know who that is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. In John, He is called the Word. In verse 16, it says, He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So if there's any doubt who we're talking about, all doubt is cleared away. I want you to look at verse 12. These words, on His head were many crowns. On His head were many crowns. I want you to think today of the Master's majestic head. And first of all, metaphorically, He is the head. Ephesians 1:22 says that He is the head over all things to the church. Somebody says, where's your headquarters? Who do you account to? Heaven is our headquarters, and we account to the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:18, He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, not some things, but all things, He might have the preeminence. In every Christian, Christ is present. Some Christians, Christ is prominent. In a few, He has the preeminence. Colossians 2:10, you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. I want you to just focus on three words in that verse. Head of all. He's the head of all. Now, we use that term metaphorically and organizationally, and in a sense, literally, certainly, He is the head. But I want you now to go into a different vein of thought with me, and I want us to think physically. About 2,000 years ago, the gospel tells us that Christ became a man. And about 2,000 years ago, He took human form and thus had and still has now in heaven a human head. It is a head like the one you have on your shoulders. And so literally, Christ has a human head. We first see that head as a little baby's head that lay upon His mother's breast, just a tiny little precious infant baby. And then we see it as a little boy's head when around age 12 He's at the temple talking with the leaders of the temple, and piercing eyes and even more piercing words came from the lips of that little lad. And then we go through life and we see Him now on a cross, headed to a cross. And there we begin to see a sight we don't like to see. We see a precious head crowned with thorns. A head crowned with thorns. You know, in Matthew and Mark and John speak of it. I think only Luke makes no reference to it. In Matthew 27:29, when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon His head. Now, what they did those thorns that grew there, very long thorns, I've been told, seen pictures of them, not just little tiny things, but things that would lacerate and literally pierce under the skin. And it is believed that when they did this, big old Roman soldiers, and I'm sure they had protective gloves or something, but they would take and they would literally press this into the scalp so that those thorns literally ran under the skin and pierced and grabbed hold. And they say that once this crown was placed, that you could probably not have dislodged it because it is embedded now in the head of the victim. In Mark 15:17, they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his about his head. John 19:2, the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put on him a purple robe. Verse 5, then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, behold the man. You know, I stand today to say, behold the man. Different than Pilate, but different way. But I say it also, behold the man. I want you to think of the magnificence of the Master. I want you to think of that precious head. You know, as I look at him on the cross with that crown of thorns, I look into his face. He's been beaten. And I see parched lips. And I see a swollen tongue at Golgotha's cross. In John 19 and verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, he'd done everything he's supposed to do, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. You see, he was going through in his mind all the Old Testament scriptures, and Psalm 69, verse 21, a messianic prophecy, said, in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. That was prophesied of him at the cross. If that detail had been omitted or not fulfilled, he would not have perfectly fulfilled all the prophecy. And in his mind, he processed, his mental computer processed, and there was a scripture unfulfilled. And he brought it up, and he said, I thirst. And when he said it in John 19:29, there was set a vessel full of vinegar. They filled a sponge with vinegar, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he gave that to Tetelestai. It's a done deal. The debt is paid. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You see, I want you to see the Savior on the cross. I want you to see that magnificent head. This is the way the Bible presents it. I'm just a Bible preacher. A crown of thorns. I want you to see how abused he was, how savage the Savior was at the cross. His precious face. We behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And yet the Bible says in Matthew 26:67, they did spit, then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. They slapped him. It was prophesied that his beard would be pulled out. You know, all your life you hear preachers say they plucked his beard out by the roots. Somebody a while back said, you know, that's not in any of the Gospels. That's not there. Somebody just said that. Oh, friend, it's a prophecy. In Isaiah 50 and verse 6, a prophecy of the Savior, I gave my back to the smiters, and they beat him with a rod, my friend. They whipped him, they beat him, and the Bible says, I gave my back to the smiters. Jonathan, I think we have a text in the Psalms we're fixing to look at, or have just looked at, a same text. And my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. My cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And this is a prophecy of how they would spit on his face. As well, Matthew doesn't tell us, Mark doesn't tell us, Luke doesn't tell us, John doesn't tell us, Isaiah, who saw it ahead of time, tells us that they plucked the hair off his face. Now, if you've ever had somebody walk up and just grab hold of your hair and pull, back then men wore full beards. I'm telling you, they literally yanked the hair out of his face. If you could have seen him, Isaiah said, his visage was more marred than any of the sons of men. Now, when I preach like this, folks don't like it. They say, you're far too graphic. God wants me to know how my Savior suffered for my sins. God, these pictures of Jesus on the cross with a little trickle of blood here and a little trickle of blood here and one here in his side, They are not with a carefully coiffured beard and manicured as though he just came from the barber. Those are not biblically accurate pictures. If you could have seen him, his face looked like hamburger. He was swollen. His lips were parched. The Bible says his visage was more marred than any of the sons of men. The Bible says there's no beauty in him that we should desire him. It was such a horrible, ugly scene that literally, had you been there, you would have turned your back and you would have literally retched, you see, as you looked upon this man who has literally been butchered by this Roman soldiers and this mob. He's been crucified. It's a bloody death. It's meant to set an example for criminals. It's meant to deter crime. And you gaze upon him, this crown of thorns. It's horrible. You know, but now I flash forward the same head and I go now to our text. Are you still with me now? Revelation 19 and 12, on his head no longer many thorns. On his head were many crowns. And he is King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, if you only get the crucifixion and you don't get the resurrection and you don't get the ascension and you don't get the coronation, you don't have the full picture of the message of this Bible. And so when I come to the cross, I'll preach it just like it's in the book. But thank God I don't stop there. I go on to the glorious message of the resurrection of the Savior. If you don't get it yet, Jesus is a king. And he came to win a kingdom. In Luke 19:12, he said a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. That's why he came to this earth. He came to get a kingdom. He came to receive a kingdom. This nobleman is clearly Christ. If you read the context, he's just taken a citizen into his kingdom, a subject by the name of Zacchaeus. And he said these words in Luke 19:10, just preface. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, that's why I've come. And then he said, I've come to win a kingdom. And they thought the kingdom of God would appear instantly because the king was now there. And that's when he said these words. A certain nobleman, he's the nobleman, went into a far country, and earth was a far piece from heaven, to receive for himself a kingdom. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. He is the one that you will bow in front of. You say, well, I don't know him. I don't love him. I don't believe in him. There'll come a time when you'll be face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says every knee shall bow. You will bow. It's just a matter of whether you bow now or bow later. Hear the preacher, and I'm almost through. There are two kingdoms in this world. It is truly a tale of two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of Satan. Jesus spoke of it in Luke 11:18. He said, if Satan be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Satan has a kingdom. Either you're in his kingdom or God's kingdom. In Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, there's only two kingdoms. It's a tale of two kingdoms. You see, you have a throne inside of your heart. God designed you that way. And someone will sit on that throne. For many people, it is self. Self sits on the throne. But what you don't know, when self sits on the throne, Satan is always behind the throne in control. But I tell you today that there is a Savior who says, I knock at your door, and if you'd let me come in, place me on the throne of your life. It says in John 3:3, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What is it to be saved? It's to open your heart to Jesus.
You've been listening to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. We're so glad you tuned in today. We'd like to invite you to be a regular listener and to invite your friends to listen as well. It's our heart's desire that we might be a blessing to you and even to your family and friends. Especially if you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, it would be our prayer that you would embrace the gospel, the good news of God's love, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again. And if you'll repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, receive Him, then you'll be saved and you'll be born again. If we can be of service to you in any way or about anything, please give us a call, 903-375-3222, or email us at blessings@heartandsouloutreach.com. And again, we want to thank you for listening, and we'd like to invite you to listen again next week at this same time to the Heart and Soul broadcast.